Good evening. The show begins tonight. Conversation with Victor Davis Hanson about the Red Sea, economic war. The insurance rates are climbing. Many large shipping firms are diverting their ships around the Cape of Good Hope, adding travel time and expense. At the same time, there is reason to believe that the revenue from the Suez Canal is plunging in Cairo, and that is a fragile state. There's also the matter of the supply chain being interrupted, leading to inflation as it did after the COVID-19. In other words, Suez Canal, Panama Canal, critical to the success of any recovery of any nation from inflation or disorder caused by the supply chain, and it's back. The U.S. is announcing a fourth wave of strikes against the Houthis, who are being supplied by Iran. The Houthis, I've called them a rebel band, that's wrong. They are from the mountains in the north of Yemen. They occupy the capital, Sana'a. There is no government if it's not the Houthis. In Aden, in the south, there are Yemeni who are paid for and very much in the hire of the Saudis, a neighboring state at odds with the Houthis for many years. So we're looking at a conflict that is growing in out the region and out the world because of the interruption of traffic. Then we turn to Jeff McCausland's memories of the Gulf War. Jeff McCausland served as a commander of the 3rd Battalion, 17th Field Artillery, attached or supporting the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment, 7 U.S. Corps, in the Gulf War of 1991. The launch of the air war was January 17th, this date, which is why Jeff and I speak of it today. And his role on the ground was to be the sharp end of the stick supporting the 2nd Armored Cavalry Regiment for the left hook around the Iraqi forces arrayed at the border and run around the Iraqis, driving them back and liberating Kuwait, not driving on to Iraq. At the same time, Jeff was stationed there with his command for some weeks afterwards while the oil fields burnt. Saddam Hussein set them afire. That is not only a war crime, but also extremely damaging to the men and women who breathe that atmosphere, and Jeff and I talk about it. And we also talk about Ukraine, out of money, nearly out of air defense, out of time. Zelensky at Davos pleading for aid, air defense especially. Ukraine is now having to decide what cities to defend and what cities not to defend because it's running low on air defense response to the Russian barrages that are routine. Conversations with Gordon Chang about the Taiwan election, successful, and about the People's Republic of China's economy, unsuccessful. New statistics from the PRC in these last hours do not point to recovery. Who can say whether these statistics are accurate or not? They haven't been for some time as the economy continues to shrink, as well as the population continuing to shrink. It has long been an anecdote that the larger the population, the growing population is prosperous, the shrinking population is the other thing. Also discussed North Korea and threats by Kim Jong-un against South Korea, saying it's his number one enemy. Does this mean a predicate for war? Unknown. North Korea is part of the axis of resistance, and recently it's been the arsenal of resistance supplying shells and missiles to Russia. We also look very carefully at the puzzle of the purges in the officer corps. Since the end of December, there have been more, and a change in the defense minister from the Army to the Navy. All odd behavior out of the People's Republic of China. As the economy is brittle, so looks to be the PLA. New World Report with Professor Evan Ellis. We spend a deal of time on Ecuador. The professor has published a paper in Spanish, and eventually it will be in English, and I'll have it. The Ecuador security challenge, the sky is not falling. In any event, Ecuador, a small state, deeply troubled by drug gangs and flight of its peoples. The number one nation passing through the Panama Canal's Darien Gap on the way to the southern border into the United States is Venezuela. Number two is now Ecuador, fleeing the breakdown in order and the violence in that small Andean state. Also speak to the troubles in Central America, three troubled democracies, El Salvador, Guatemala. Nicaragua is barely a democracy, no memory of it. It's a dictatorship led by Ortega, and it's non-transparent, but it's certainly welcoming to Russia and China and other bad actors in the hemisphere. Also about Brazil, Lula da Silva says that he wants state capitalism. He tried it when he was first in office at the beginning of the century. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. Next door is the opposite of state capitalism. Javier Milei, who is in Davos, rubbing shoulders with the rich and powerful, looking for ways out of the inflation now exceeding 200%. And also the IMF loan has to be serviced. Shaman Constable speaking from Occitane in the south of France. Temperatures very mild, heading into the 50s. They don't call it paradise for nothing. And no sighting of the very large wild boar that frequents his garden now and again. We speak passingly of the tragedy of the post office scandal back in the UK. Simon assures me these were the nicest people in the little villages of Great Britain, and the fact that they were persecuted with false data because of bad software is heartbreaking. Many of them middle-aged, and they still have not been compensated for the brutality the state directed at them for many years. This is the course of the 20th century. It's been from 1999 till now, closing 8,000 sub-post offices. I don't know how many of those sub-postmasters were prosecuted, but certainly all of them were under a shadow that is now lifting when and if Parliament gets its story together. And then Bob Zimmerman reports on a report from Elon Musk about the next test, test three of Starship Super Heavy, perhaps in February, waiting for FAA approval. There's more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you for listening.